the one, the only, the venerable Ron McLean. Hey, man.
Hi, Dean. Hi, George. How are you?
Hi, welcome.
I'm learning a lot this morning. I was saying to Ryan about the deflated balls, because, you know, you get in a hockey bubble, I have no idea, but now I know why the Patriots are Minutemen. Best I can do for you there.
Rim shot? Do we have one? No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So, listen, I appreciate you doing this. How you been? What's up? What's going on?
Well, Grape said in the Globe and Mail, he was widely quoted as saying we're having a grand time, and that's the truth of the matter, Dean. It's a good job if you can get it, and enjoying the playoffs very much. I know, George, I was a bit of a heartbreaker for you last night. But,
yeah, thanks, Ron.
Yeah, it's been
it
good.
Was.
Yeah, we've only played. I've actually kept track of how many times.
It counts. You guys run the clips like we do on Coach's Corner. Wait a minute, we just ran that one, didn't we?
Yeah, only 24 times already this morning, but we're going for 30. So, what'd you make of the game? Because, you know, there's really, Tampa Bay had no business being in it. They were outshot 30 to 18, 30 to 19. And Carey Price looked fairly human yesterday. I don't know if you can use the lack of work as an excuse, but you know, it's just one of those series, I guess.
Well, the guy, you've sort of touched on a lot of it this morning. Tyler Johnson obviously is having a Conn Smythe Trophy playoffs. He's been so clutch. When they were in trouble in Game 4 against Detroit, he had the two goals in the third period that got him back into that game, and he had clutch goals in all of that series, and then, of course, he scored the first goal in the third period of Game 1 of this series. But the neat thing for me, Dean and George, is if you look at the last 11 seconds, and it was funny, PK, I listened to PK Subban after the game, and he said it was like they had seven guys out there, and I thought, maybe they did have too many men on the ice. Something's going on, and he's given us a little code to go back and have a look at the play. So I did. And with 11 seconds to go, there's a bit of a short dump into the Tampa zone, and it's Pacioretty and Gallagher and Plekanec are on the ice. And if you watch, that's when the change takes place. Stamkos goes off, and on comes Palat. He'd come on just a little bit, and you can see Tyler Johnson. You know how Jaromir Jagr hangs his leg over the boards all the time? You know, get me on, I'm ready. Grapes used to have Andre Savard in Boston. He'd be waiting because Phil Esposito would never come off, who you were kidding about earlier on the broadcast.
Yeah, he had a lot to say, I thought,
Yeah, I enjoy him too, though. Like you said, it's like watching a game with your grandfather. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's so humble, right, for a guy that's Phil Esposito. I love
Absolutely.
Him. But he never came off. He'd do these four-minute shifts, and Andre Savard would be trying to get on the ice, and they were all concerned he'd never have kids because he spent his whole life sort of wedged on top of the boards. Tyler is that way. If you look at the last 11 seconds, he's dying to get out on the ice. And, in fact, he gets on with 6 seconds to go, and that's why they don't pick him up. He kind of sneaks into the play unchecked, and it's just a really – and if you look at the celebration on the bench after the game, John Cooper, you know, high fives with his assistant coaches, and then he kind of pointed. And same with Yzerman up in the press box, kind of points, and it's like they knew they had to get Johnson on the ice in that situation. It's kind of like Paul Henderson in the Summit Series. So big moment to get him out there, and, yeah, that's the series.
Ron, how does a guy like Tyler Johnson go undrafted?
Well, that's like the story Jerry Howarth was telling you yesterday about a guy getting four hits after having been buried so far in the minors in a league that wasn't even considered the minors. But, you know, I think it's the size thing. It's like Johnny Gaudreau. You know, we look, and I know you're concerned about David Desharnais right now. You'd rather see Galchenyuk play center, and I kind of with you on that. But those guys are, you know, always overlooked. It's as simple as that. He just didn't have the 6'3" frame. And when you have teams like, Patrick Kane's the exception, but when you have teams like Boston and Los Angeles as kind of the standards, everybody's looking for Anze Kopitar or somebody bigger. So that's why. But it's also interesting, George, that Tyler Johnson and Palat and all these guys are part of the Norfolk American Hockey League championship team, which was fantastic. And you may remember their goalie was Dustin Tokarski. So maybe they're getting inside information from Dustin Tokarski.
Ron McLean joins us, Playoff Insider, 8:20. Listen, the other series that is really interesting now, and, you know, it's one of those hard luck stories, as Alexander Ovechkin always has been. He's kind of played the, you know, the popular opinion second banana to Sidney Crosby. Tides have turned. I think times have changed. And they find themselves in a pretty strange position if you're a Washington Capitals fan, or if you're a Washington Capital long-serving, long-suffering with Alexander Ovechkin. They're up 3-1 against the best team in the NHL this season, the New York Rangers.
I remember Kirk McLean, the very start of hometown hockey, we had Kirk on out west, and he said, you know, it's really smart. They got Barry Trotz, but beyond that, they brought in Mitch Korn, who was the goalie guy that made Pekka Rinne and made a few of the other goaltenders in Nashville look so great. And he said he's incredible. He thinks he's the best goalie coach in the game right now. And Holtby, Cassie Campbell showed a really neat clip of how he does all these eye drills and even the water bottle when he splashes water at the end of every whistle. He kind of tracks where the beads of water go, and he's been incredible. You're right, Ovechkin and Backstrom, they're magic together. And the other thing about Washington is I think New York, you touched on this a little earlier on the broadcast too, that they miss Zuccarello. Obviously, Nash is not clicking right now with Marty St. Louis. But the one thing I look at a little bit with Markov not really having the role or playing the way he can for Montreal, sometimes you make changes in your lineup during the year. They bring in Petrie and Gilbert. In the New York Rangers case, what I noticed, especially a game or so ago, when they were down a goal late in the game, they were playing Yandel and Boyle a ton. And that meant Mark Stahl, who had been kind of the go-to guy for the, as you probably know, in the last 4 years, nobody's played more playoff hockey than the New York Rangers. And I just felt like Girardi wasn't getting to play. And I don't know that Dan would be your guaranteed go-to offensive guy, but Mark Stahl surely is. And so McDonough was playing, but they kind of reduced the ice time of Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi down the stretch. And I remember when Detroit had Chicago on the ropes a couple of years ago, it was because Joel Quenneville kind of was trying to split up Seabrook and Keith to allow for some new guys, fresh blood on defense. And he finally went back to the pairing that got them there. And I just feel like New York, that there's two things happening there. They've lost Zuccarello, and that's thrown Nash off. And they've had all this defense added, which is a great thing, sort of an embarrassment of riches. But it looks like it may have thrown their rhythm off. And the same way with Markov, maybe. Because even I remember Toronto, the year in 04, they lost to Philadelphia. They had a fantastic team. Brian Leetch. They bring in Brian Leetch. Now, you can't do better than Brian Leetch. But unfortunately, when they brought in Brian Leetch, Toronto lost Thomas Kaberle. He suddenly, just didn't have the role he once had and never seemed to regain his game. So it's funny how you tinker and lose some of what you had.
Ron, do you think if the Habs do go out in the sweep tonight that Michel Therrien's job could be in jeopardy?
I do think it's trouble because of that whole thing we discussed on Coach's Corner last night, that Brandon Prust kind of came off the rails after his coach came off the rails. I will say one thing. Marc Bergevin is... everything he's done just about has shown the Midas touch. So I implicitly trust his judgment. But he may have, this may have been a tough one for them to swallow. It's just, it looks like a little bit of a lack of composure behind the bench cost them in the Ottawa. And I'm kicking him when he's down, and that's not fair to Michel because he's done a fantastic job there. But that loss against Ottawa 2 years ago and now this loss both seem to stem from a little bit of losing their composure. And yet, saying that, they absolutely dominated last night. So Mark may just look at it and say, hey, listen, we had a great season, and, Bishop stood on his head. So hopefully for Michel, that's how he looks at it.
Ron McLean, listen, always a pleasure to talk to you, and still a staple in many Canadians' lives with Coach's Corner. Have appreciated the work you've done for many, many years, and hope for many more years to come. And thanks again for your insight. Just a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Mutual there, Dean. Okay,
bud.
Thanks, boys.